We're doing Maharal, and we finished the introduction. We're starting Netivat Torah. The pasuk says in Mishlei, "Vayoreini vayomar." Shlomo HaMelech is describing, "My father loved me, and he taught me and said, 'Yitmoch devarai libecha, shmo mitzvotai vechye.' Let my words support your heart. Adhere to my commandments, and you will live." Shlomo HaMelech alav shalom ratza lazir te adam ala Torah. King Solomon, peace be upon him, wanted to warn man over Torah. Ve'amar kasher natan haTorah la'adam, amar Hashem yitbarach la'adam yitmoch dvarai libecha. King Solomon describes as though David HaMelech, his father, is talking to him. However, the Maharal says he's not talking about his biological father. He's talking about our father. He's talking about our father in heaven. That when Hashem gave us the Torah, he said, "Let my word support your heart." Kolomar haTorah sheidvar Hashem itbarach. King Solomon is saying, Torah is the words of God. Yitmoch libecha, let it support your heart. Ki lev adam shama chayim. Our heart is where life is. Ve'atorah tachzik libcha v'titen lecha chayim. You know what's going to give you life? Torah. V'tishmor mitzvotai v'chiyei. Shlomo HaMelech is saying, adhere to my mitzvos, you will live. Ki divrei Torah tomchin u'mashin kol ha'olam kulo. The words of Torah are what support, give life and joy to all of the world. So certainly, if Torah is the source of life in the world, it is certainly supportive of the person himself who is delving in Torah. What do I mean that Torah is what supports the whole world? That's what our sages taught. Our sages said that when Hashem created the world, on the sixth day of creation, it says Yom HaShishi with a hey, the sixth day. Kilkachosiv hey baShishi lomar kichol maasev reshit yutleim vamdin at Shishi b'Sivan. So Rashi right away quotes the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos that says that all of creation was on standby. All of creation was on condition, waiting for that sixth day of Sivan. Yikablu Yisrael haTorah mutav. If Israel accepts the Torah, fine, then the world will continue to exist. Ve'im lav, however, if not, yachzor haolam letov vavo, then the world will go back to its state of confusion, of in order. Ve'im ken, divrei Torah mechazkim v'tomchin hakol, ad sheyesh la'olam kiyum. So then the Torah is actually what gives the world its existence. V'chol ze mipnei ki haTorah hi seder ha'adam ve'eze ma'aseh yeh noheg. And that is because Torah gives us the order, the system of how to behave. V'chi yeh mesudar b'ma'asav. Torah gives us a series of priorities. What comes first? What gets more importance? V'zeu inyan haTorah. That is the concept of Torah. Torah is a system of priorities. V'kmo shaTorah hi seder ha'adam. Just like Torah gives us a system, kach haTorah hi seder shel ha'olam. Torah is also the system of the world. Ad shaTorah hi seder hakol. Torah is actually the system of all of existence. Rak ki seder ha'adam u'nigle u'mforash b'Torah ki efshar zulat zeh. The human being finds a system for himself in Torah. That's true. So the Torah reveals to us what our priorities are. It doesn't tell you how the world will live in order because of Torah. It tells you the individual's order. That's because Torah is revealing to us the priorities by which we live. That's why that element of Torah is clear. The Torah reveals to you what your priorities should be. But the concept that Torah actually gives order to the whole world, gam ken hu b'Torah, that's also in Torah. She'en haTorah rak seder mitziyut haolam bichlalo, because Torah is actually the order of the whole world. V'zeu shamu b'midrash. That's what the Medrash Rabba, famous Medrash, tells us. Shaya mabit b'Torah uvara et olamo. The Medrash says, just like any good architect, he makes a plan and then he starts building. If you know what you're doing, you make a plan before you start building. So too, the Ribbono Shel Olam made a blueprint for the world. He wrote the Torah. And then Hashem would look in the Torah and create the world. Look in the Torah and create the world. That's how the Medrash describes it. Rotze lomar shaTorah be'atzma hi seder hakol. Chazal were revealing to us that you should know that the blueprint for the world is really the Torah. Ve'lakach kasher ratza Hashem yitbach livrot olamo ulseder oto. That's why in creation, Hashem was creating a world and making an order in the world. Hayam abit b'Torah shehi seder hakol. Hashem looked in the Torah, because the Torah is actually the order of everything in the world. Uvara et olamon, created his world. This is the concept that our sages say, histakel be'oraita uvara alma. Hashem looked in the Torah and created the world. Umipnei shatra yisedr kol olam, kol davar shum sudar, hu davar acher mekushar, kmo shehi haTorah yisedr echad. So I think this is a new concept, which we will begin with Bezrat Hashem next week. Unless you guys want to go another 10 minutes. Yeah. Another 10 minutes? Yeah? I'm game. Okay. So now the Maharal starts what? Okay. So now the Maharal starts the next point. The Maharal says, you look at the world, it's tempting to think that the world is very separate. Separate. Today, you sit here, you have this amazing, ingenious contraption called a cell phone, and you can look in your cell phone and see people across the planet, all over the world. But once upon a time, as in all of world history until this decade, the world was not like that. And if you go back for all of world history until the past century, a Jew living in Australia never knew what people living in Africa looked like. A person living in the United States had no concept of what was going on in Australia. He might not have known that Australia even existed. People would show up from neighboring countries and tell you stories. Sometimes they tell you the truth, sometimes they tell you a lie. So when a person showed up and said, they invented a new invention. Now he could say whatever he wanted because you had no idea if what he was telling was the truth or not. The world was completely separate. People had no concept of what was going on 2 miles away from their house. You just didn't know. Think about a world without media. Think about a world without internet. Think about a world without newspapers. So, if you go back in time, people really didn't know. And this was one of the strengths of the Jews. Jews worked together, and very often they could beat the stock market. Because I'm talking about the stock market pre the electronic era. So then Jews had information from one another, and they were very often able to know in advance what was coming in the financial markets. They knew what was going on in other countries because Jews had a system. They were money changers. They were connected. Families had children in different countries. They stayed in contact. They trusted one another. And they worked based on that trust. And that's how the Rothschilds were able to become so wealthy. They had information. They knew what wars were brewing. They knew a lot about what was going on before it happened. So they were well ahead of their neighbors. Coming back to here, the Maharal says, you look at the world, it's tempting to think that the world is disjointed. Everything's separate. Again, today we live in a small world. But once upon a time, it seemed like your village was your existence. The head of the manor was the king. They could do whatever they wanted. People owned the manor. You lived on the manor. You made the rules. And there was no questioning what you did, including death penalty. Anything they wanted. When a person was wealthy enough to own a manor, the duke of the manor was the king. He could do whatever he wanted. And so you lived in your manor. The manor next door over, you had no concept of what was going on there. The next country was another continent. You had no concept of what was going on beyond your little shtetl. That's all you knew.
What do you mean separate?
No, you look at the world, I'm saying until now, until our century, every person felt like they were living on their own little planet. All they knew was their little shtetl. That's what they knew. When televisions came out, so an older couple told me that their relative was very wealthy. He bought a television. So he invited all his relatives to show them what a television is. So they came to his house, and he said, "I'll show you a television." He took 2 slices of bread, put them in a toaster, pushed the button down, and they sat there watching. And they're all looking. And after about a minute, the toaster pops. It goes bing, and the bread pops out, and everyone jumps. And then he shows them toast, and they say, "Wow." So he said, "Okay, that's a television." So he made fun of them, right? They had no concept, right? They didn't know what a toaster was either. So he showed them a toaster and told them that was a television. So they were all in awe because he showed them toast. He showed them after they were finished being in awe of their wealthy uncle who had a television. Then he said, now I'll show you something else. He sat them down in a room and he turned on the television and they saw people. So they all started looking at this box from the front, from the back, from the top, from the bottom. Where are all those little people? Where did they come from? Right? And they told me there were people who would come to the television and knock on it and talk to those little people. And they, where are you guys? Can I help you get out of there? You know, I'm very serious. I'm very serious.
Stupid agents.
What?
Stupid
agents.
It was in the United States. Yes, but if you didn't know what a television was and you suddenly see little people in there, it's like, how do I help you get out of there? Okay, you guys are laughing, but the world was a different world until this century. So the Maharal says you look at the world and you can think that I live in my shtetl, he lives in his shtetl. There are people even who live 20 miles down, they live in a different planet. You know, my wife's grandmother told us that when they were in Hungary, they were very advanced. Because they had a pump to get water out of the ground. They had a pump. They were advanced in Hungary. Who had running water in their homes? What?
I still don't bring water.
I don't know. I'm just saying. We had a student here who was from Ukraine. When he passed away, we tried calling his parents. We had to call a Chabad that was a two-hour drive away from his parents. And their shaliach agreed to drive to that town because there was no phone in that town. He drove 2 hours to get to that town to tell the parents that their son had passed away. They drove 2 hours to come to a phone, to make a phone call, to talk to us, to find out what had happened with their son. So we live on a different planet today, right? Everyone has a cell phone, you know, that's the question. Didn't they have a cell phone in that town, right? They didn't have running phone lines, but no satellite hits there either, like where the sun don't shine. We don't have such concepts anymore. But until this century, that was reality. They had no way of knowing their son had passed away. So Maharal says, you look at the planet, it's very easy to think, again, until our century, all of world history, it was very easy to think that human beings are very separate, and lives are very separate, and the planet is very separate. We're just separate from one another. But Torah revealed to us, as the Maharal, that the world is really connected. Today we understand that concept so easily, but the Maharal says part of what Torah was teaching us is the concept of connection in the world. When something has an order, when Chazal told us, you know, God planned this world and it's all based on a blueprint called Torah, then that's a unifying factor in Torah. Just as Torah is one book and it's one order, Torah is one thing, so too the world is one. And that's why our sages taught us, Basara Ma'amarot Nivra Ha'olam. There were 10 utterances with which Hashem created the world. So the Mishnah says, why did Hashem use 10 utterances? He could have just said one utterance and created the world. So what did the Torah come to teach us when it said 10 utterances? The Torah was telling us there's going to be great wages for the righteous because they uphold the world in which Hashem invested 10 utterances. It also tells us the responsibility of those who are wicked. They're destroying a world which Hashem invested 10 utterances in creating. Our sages didn't mean to say Hashem used 10 utterances so he could punish the wicked. That's not what it means to say. It doesn't make sense. But what our sages were saying is 10 is a number that we use when we speak about something that is going to be large in number. Vuklal echad mekushav. When we want to describe something that on the one hand is great in number, on the other hand has a unifying factor, we use the number 10. 10 has both aspects to it. It's a big number, but it's a big number that's united. Ki kachem asara. That's what we mean when we use the term 10. Ki ad tet mispar haprati. Until the number 9, we're speaking about things that have their own individual existence. There's one of that, there's two of that, there's five of that, there's 9 of that. But we're describing some 9 separate components. When we speak about 10, that's different. Shekol echad mechulak latzmo. When we say there are 9, we mean there are 9 individuals. But when we say there are 10, aval asara mispar klali, we mean to say there's a set. 10 means they're united, they're one set. Shekol echad mekushav. They're all united with one. V'lachen ayud morean mispar asara. That's why specifically the letter yud corresponds to 10. Ki ayud iktana. The yud is the smallest letter. You can't split the letter yud. You take a letter hey, it's composed of a dalid and a yud. You take a letter beis, it's composed of a vav and a resh. You take every letter is composed of other things. However, the letter yud is the smallest of the letters. It's one drop of ink. You can't split it. It's like one drop. The idea is that 10 is one unit. It's as though they're one. That's the concept also of the number 10 being a one with the number 1, because the number 10 also represents the number 1. It's representing one unit. That's the idea that the world was created with 10 utterances. The idea that even though there were 10 utterances, there were 10, so to speak, types of creation. However, there is one unifying factor. What's that unifying factor? The Torah is the order of the world. That's the idea that we started, the idea that the order of the world is the Torah, and that's a unifying factor of the world because the Torah is one.